Hey everyone, this is part three and the final part of my Star Wars Visions review. This is going to be on episodes 7, 8, and 9. Spoilers for those, of course, as always. So far, I want to give you my ranking of the episodes. In 6th place is TOB1, 5th place is Tatooine Rhapsody, 4th place is The Twins, 3rd place is The Village Bride, and 2nd place is The Ninth Jedi, and 1st place is The Duel. This was another great batch of episodes, and spoilers, some of these end up in my top five. I really liked a lot of these. So let's start with episode 7, The Elder. This was made by Trigger, which was the same studio that did The Twins, I want to say. And I loved how different this was from The Twins. We're going to compare and contrast them a little bit. But overall, this was a really great episode and one of my favorites. I really loved it. Starting with the good, the voice acting compared to The Twins was so much more toned down. It was so much more naturalistic. It was so much more grounded. It was weird because when I think of anime, I think of a lot of screaming and shouting, kind of like the Twins episode. And this episode was not that at all. And I actually prefer it this way. So we had David Harbour as, I don't know, I think it's Tahin. It took me a bit to get over the David Harbour-ness. I kept hearing David Harbour and not the character because I'm so familiar with the actor and the actor's work. But eventually I kind of adjusted, and about 2 or 3 minutes in, I started getting used to it, and then I started thinking first about the character instead of the actor, and I thought he was great. I saw some criticism saying it felt like he was sleepwalking his way through the character, like not delivering with much emotion, which is true, but I think that's kind of the direction, and that's how it's supposed to be. He was very, very purposefully toned down, and I really liked it. Jordan Fisher as Dan, I thought he was great. I haven't seen Jordan Fisher in much, but I was impressed with him. I thought he felt really natural behind a microphone. I really liked the naturalistic performances compared to the Twins' performances. And then James Hong as the Elder. If you know who he is, you know he's an absolute legend and a Star Wars veteran. He killed it as expected. He was a lot more high energy than the rest of the cast, but still toned down compared to kind of his normal shtick, if you're familiar with him. And I thought he was great too. It wasn't the voice I kind of expected to come out of the Elder, but I adjusted and I actually ended up really liking it. One thing I loved about this episode was how simple the story was. Kind of throughout the season as a whole, it's been just a very simple premise, a simple story. And I kind of really like that because we've gotten used to all these grandiose, big movies, big stories that are really complicated. And it's kind of nice to just kind of distill it down to just a very basic story. And this episode was just that. And going through some of the story beats, Tahin senses something sinister through the Force. He goes to investigate with his Padawan. The villagers on the planet informed Tahin that an elder from an unknown village passed through a few days ago and went into the mountains alone. Tahin and Dan split up. Dan goes into the mountain, guided by the kids he befriended to search, and Tahin stays and watches over the elder ship. The elder ship is Sith design, and Dan finds a carcass of a monster cut cleanly by a lightsaber. They suspect that the elder is a Sith. Dan meets the elder, and they duel. Dan is seemingly sliced and killed. Tahin and the Elder have this epic duel. Dan force launches his lightsaber, which gives Tahin the window to kill the Elder. The Elder then uses a remote to blow up his ship, and he like crumbles to dust. There's a little bit of a time jump. We don't know exactly how long. And then we see Tahin and Dan talking. Tahin reminds Dan to never forget his training because power doesn't last forever. And then, of course, during that scene, it's mentioned that Dan did not actually die and he got healed up from his injuries. So I love that story. It's so simple, so easy to follow, but it totally worked for me. The relationship between Dan and Tahin was really great. Their dynamic is like familiar. It's the familiar Star Wars Padawan and Master relationship. It's comforting, but it just felt right for the episode. It just worked. It was very endearing. Kind of reminded me of Ezra and Kanan. I thought that relationship was really great and really was the heart of this episode. I think Dan's lesson he learned from the Elder, that power isn't everything, was great. I thought this was really well written. The story was well plotted. The dialogue was really naturalistic. It didn't feel forced at all. Exposition was delivered extremely naturally. And I was just really impressed. I much preferred this episode, the writing of this episode, than the other Studio Trigger one, the other one called The Twins, because The Twins was not naturalistic. It was almost overacted, almost overwritten, too much exposition. And it was just a little too much for me. Another thing about this episode was the score. I thought it was playful and fun during the appropriate moments, but also tense and thrilling. during the right moments. It did what every score should do, which is increase the impact and emotion of a scene. It was very reminiscent of like the Japanese samurai, ancient samurai movie music with the drums, especially during Tahin and the Elder's fight. This was really tense. I was locked onto the story throughout and on the edge of my seat. The animation, it was interesting because it's not one of the ones that's just immediately stunning. It's very reserved, very muted, very toned down. The color grading is very dreary. But the things that did pop out, the things that were bright and colorful were the lightsabers and the force lightning, which I thought was a really good choice because it really stood out against the background. The duels themselves between Dan and the Elder and Tahin versus the Elder were really beautifully choreographed and really stunning to watch. Especially Tahin versus the Elder with the rain pouring down and then with their lightsabers just glowing. I think it's one of the most beautifully animated sequences of this whole show. It's really, really stunning. And it's just so cool. It's so visually pleasing. Like there's one frame. You can just pause it right there, take a screenshot, put it up on the wall. It looks like art. It's so cool. Another thing about that fight, the choreography of the fight itself, the start, stop pacing, the kind of clash, stop, pose, wait, clash, stop, pose, wait, is very inspired by Japanese samurai films. And I really love that. You know, that first episode, The Duel, was so inspired by, especially Akira Kurosawa. And I just love that Japanese inspiration. And I love that in this episode as well. And I just want to know more about this episode. This one left me so intrigued. I want more of Tahin and Dan because I love those characters and I love their relationship. It's just so wholesome and endearing. But I also want to know more about who the Elder was and what he was, why he crumbled to dust, how he crumbles to dust, and why did he blow up his ship? What was he hiding on his ship? I have a feeling this is something we're not going to get all the answers to. And that's kind of my criticism with this episode, because it's really hard to find that balance between like the duel, leaving things open and leaving mystery, but also leaving the audience satisfied and not leaving them unsatisfied, because I left this episode loving it, but also a little bit cold, a little bit unsatisfied, because the mystery was almost too much. I don't know, because it's so hard to put in words, but like for the duel and this one, the duel left so much mystery, but it worked and I didn't feel unsatisfied. This one left so much mystery and I just immediately want more, and I do feel a little bit unsatisfied. So that's my one criticism of this episode. But other than that, I absolutely loved it. This is one of my favorites. Even talking about it right now makes me love it even more. So this was great. Episode 8 was called Lop and Ocho. This was by Gino Studio. And overall, I was so shocked by how much I enjoyed this episode. This was the biggest surprise for me because based on the trailers, I thought it was going to be kind of cute, fun, but not one of my favorites. But I was wrong. This was one of my favorites so far and probably in my top 5. Starting with the good, the animation, I think this, unlike the last one, this one you just immediately, it starts and immediately it's stunning. Personally, I think this is the most beautiful episode of the series. There was these gorgeous shots of the planet and the ships in such detail and so well done. And then the action was so well choreographed, unlike the last one, which was, it's almost clunky by design because it's very start, stop, because it's inspired by those Japanese samurai films. The animation in this, the action was animated very fluidly without that start, stop, which was, again, also really pleasing to look at. Again, let's go through the story. So Tau is a resource-rich planet. So the Empire, who promised its residents industrial advancement in exchange for occupation, strips the planet bare, leaving those who remain either for the Empire or against it. Lop, one of the Empire's slave laborers, escapes from them and is on the run when she's found by Boss Yasaburo and his daughter Ocho, who take her in. 7 years later, Lop wakes up in the middle of an explosion, and she discovers that her father planned it. She finds Ocho and her father arguing out loud. Ocho sides with the Empire and her father's against it. Ocho and Lop leave in a speeder where they meet up with an Imperial officer. He revealed that he had made a deal with Ocho. Ocho had promised the Empire that she would stop the rebellion. She would stop her father. And then Ocho joins the Empire's redevelopment initiative. Lop is really hurt by Ocho's betrayal and she runs away to her father. Her father entrusts her with a lightsaber, which has been passed down through the family. There's this recurring theme of family, and he says to her, you're just as much part of this family as everyone else, even though you are not my daughter by blood. The father goes to talk to Ocho, and later Lop sees an explosion. She rushes over and sees the Imperials fighting the rebels and Ocho fighting her father. Ocho attacks and blinds the father in one of his eyes. He urges Lop to stop her sister. Lop ignites the lightsaber and they fight, which is beautiful. It's a beautiful scene. And she tries to convince Ocho to stop and to reunite the family. But she slashes Ocho, and then Ocho leaves on a TIE fighter, and the episode ends on a holograph of them as a family with their droid broken. A really dark and somber ending that totally surprised me, because I was expecting, okay, Lop's going to convince Ocho and they're going to come back together as a family, because that's what I've become accustomed to. But this was not how this episode ended. One of the things about this episode I loved about this plot was how beautifully written it was. This reminds me kind of The Village Bride a bit, in that it's very thematically strong, and it's also the most filled with mythology and world building. Because so many of these episodes are a lean 10 minutes, maybe 20 minutes, there's not time for world building. You're just kind of put into the story and you just follow some characters. There's not time to do all this world building. But what I loved about this episode was how much mythology of this planet, of this world, the characters were well developed. They were fully formed. This really felt like a complete and well-developed story. Because a lot of the other ones are much more vague and mysterious and short. This was a complete story without any mystery, which I really enjoyed. It was a nice change of pace. Very, very similar to The Village Bride. I love the themes of family in this episode. That's a very Star Wars theme. And I like the theme of Lop being part of the family, even though she's adopted. I just really loved how all-encompassing this felt, like a complete, well-developed, full story, unlike some of the other ones, which I still loved. But it was nice to have a change after a lot of mysterious things where you don't really know and there's not that much world building. This one was the opposite, and I love that. I loved the opposing viewpoints, the different philosophies, Lop versus Ocho, the difference in opinion of Ocho versus her father too, whether or not they should support the Empire. The ending was really good. It was totally shocking, really depressing. It was sad, but it was really good. This episode was like the perfect blend of action and character. It was just really, really good storytelling, and I loved it. Again, the voice acting all around really solid in this show. It's kind of nice to see you've got a lot of professional voice actors who really obviously know what they're doing, and I thought it was really strong. You had Anna Cathcart as Lop, Hiromi Doms as Ocho, Paul Nakauchi as Yasaburo, Kyle McCarley as the Imperial officer, Eva Kaminsky as the narrator, Adam Sietz as Suke, Michael Sinterklaas as Kaku, and much more. And the last thing I wanted to mention was that opening scene where they kind of get all the exposition out of the way, explaining the world. And then there's this camera shot moving into the planet, through the cities, into the world. And that was just honestly really good, a good way to get the exposition done, but also just really stunning and visually one of the best things this show has produced so far. So I loved La Pinocho so much more than I was expecting. And that's pretty much all I have to say about it. I don't have any criticisms of this one. So that's all I have to say about La Pinocho. And then the final Star Wars Visions episode is Akakiri by Science Saru, who did the TOB1 episode. And seeing that, I was a little nervous about this one, because TOB1, there were elements I liked and there were things I liked, but overall it was my least favorite episode. But I was impressed with this one. Now, Akakiri does not fall in my top five. It's not as good as the other two, in my opinion, but it was a solid episode that I really enjoyed. And I was really surprised by a lot of the plot developments, starting with the voice acting. Again, just all around really strong. Henry Golding as Tsubaki, Jamie Chung as Misa, George Sakei as Senshu, Keone Young as Kamahachi, and Lorraine Toussaint as Masago. Going through the story, this is another easier one to explain. A Jedi named Tsubaki dispatches a group of incoming riders. He suffers from a bad headache that debilitates his powers, and he has these recurring visions. The riders overpower him and knock him out. He wakes up being tended to by Misa. Misa says a Sith within the royal family named Masago has usurped the throne from Misa, who's the princess and heir to the throne. Tsubaki and Misa, there's a flashback later on, they've had a past. Tsubaki did a mission on this planet a long time ago and was familiar with Misa. Tsubaki and Misa head out to the palace with guides to help them get through, because Misa's exiled. There's a long and perilous journey. Eventually, they make it. Masago duels Tsubaki, and he has another headache. The guides are killed by Masago. after being released, Masago gets them, steals them back, and kills them, and Misa is taken away. Masago tempts Tsubaki with the dark side, and he accidentally kills Misa, fulfilling his vision. And then Tsubaki accepts Masago as his master, and they use the dark side to revive Misa. He then walks off with Masago as her new apprentice and leaves Misa alone as they fly off. And that was the ending. This was another really dark ending, a really, really depressing ending. What I liked about this episode was the theme of fate versus destiny. We saw that explored a little bit in Loki, and I liked that in this episode. I thought it was interesting because Star Wars, to my recollection, has never really explored that idea. So it was cool to see. The animation was interesting in this one because it was a lot more abstract. It was a much different style than anything else. It definitely took some getting used to, but I liked it. It took me a while, but I adjusted and I liked it. It's not one of my favorite styles. I don't think it's as stunning as the last couple, but you can't expect that from every episode. I thought it was just a solid, really good looking style that I thought was pretty cool to see how different it was than the rest. Similarly to the last episode, I liked how bold they were, the creators, that they were going to have this dark and pessimistic ending. I really liked it. I liked the story. I liked Masago. I liked Tsubaki turning to the dark side. It was totally shocking. I really liked the twist that he kills Misa and then he revives her with the dark side. I liked that final shot of her sitting there alone. So I really enjoyed this episode. It falls on the lower half of my ranking just because of how much I love the other ones, but I did enjoy this one. I don't really have any criticisms, so that's what I thought of Akakiri. Now, this is my final ranking of Star Wars Visions. I really struggled putting together this ranking. I kept changing it, and I kept changing my mind, but right now, it's in 9th place is TOB1, in 8th place is Tatooine Rhapsody, 7th place is The Twins, 6th place is Akakiri, 5th place is The Village Bride, 4th place is The Elder, 3rd place is La Pinocho, 2nd place is The Ninth Jedi, and 1st place is The Duel. Ninth Jedi, The Duel, and La Pinocho being my top three, they're really interchangeable. The more I think about them all, the more I like them, so they can really go any way. But that's my final ranking of Star Wars Visions. As a whole, looking back at the whole season of Visions, I absolutely loved it. Starting with just the concept, the idea of it was just really genius. It brought some really unique and original stories with new characters, new planets, completely new stories, some of which I want continued in the future, by the way. Some awesome action, some great character development, some amazing world building, some stunning animation that we've never seen used with Star Wars. And the show really was a return to Star Wars roots in terms of going back to the Japanese inspiration, going right back there. I really liked. And then also in it felt like a distillation of the themes of Star Wars, returning to the themes that sometimes get lost in the movies of family, of hope, of standing up to oppression, all that stuff. And I thought this show was fantastic. I don't have any overarching criticisms of the show because each episode is different. You know my episode by episode criticisms, but there's really not that many. All in all, Visions is a 10 out of 10 for me. I think all franchises, including Star Wars, can really take a lesson from this show. Taking more risks and doing more original, risky, and experimental things like this can really pay off and breathe new life into Star Wars and into any franchise. This is one of my favorite Star Wars projects ever made. I really, really loved it, and I really want to see more of this. This has been super popular, so I wouldn't be surprised if they announced either a Visions Season 2, or if some of these episodes become the pilots and these studios just make a whole spinoff show on their episodes, because I would love to see that. And I really hope that happens. But if it never does, I'm more than satisfied with what we got. This is something I'm going to return to and rewatch over and over because they're so short, so you can just pop any of them on. I really love this show. So please let me know what you think of these episodes. What's your ranking of these episodes? Did you like the show as much as I did? I'm curious to see what you think of them. Please leave feedback. If you're on YouTube, you can leave a comment. There's also a form in the description on all the podcast platforms and YouTube where you can leave a theory for any upcoming show and movie, your thoughts on this show, a topic or a question you want me to discuss, or really anything. You can leave in that form. And then you can also leave an email to be read aloud during the show or a voicemail to be played during the show. And then we'll address your thoughts, your theories, your questions, whatever you have to say. And Thank you everyone so much for listening and have a good day.